The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Ball Bags podcast. Apologies from Rocky and Atash. It is just two handsome blokes here rocking it out. Chief, how are we?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
It's with comments like that, I'm glad that no one's ever seen our faces because they'd call bluff, I think.
Yeah.
But look, yeah, look, probably a little bit of a shorter episode. Two boys were kind of late pullouts, unfortunately. So we basically have a point each, agree to disagree. We'll go through our player of the week first, and then finally we'll just finish off with our fixtures of the round. Must watch TV, but without much further ado, Chief, who was your player of the week and why?
My player of the week was Oxenche from the England South Africa World Cup semi final. I think Andre Pollard will take a lot of credit for his kicks and how well he did when he came on as well. But ultimately, I think with the Ox coming into the scrums, he turned the tide in South Africa's favour. I was actually looking at this and I said to one of the lads, it was about the 62nd minute. I was like, if South Africa don't score here in the next 5 minutes, they're done. And I think they got a scrum penalty. Ox was the man to it, and RG Snyman then went and scored his try. Really put the pressure on, and obviously they got the final scrum penalty call to win the game. So yeah, he's my player of the week.
Yeah, and look, I suppose as a complete sidebar, completely unrelated, what a 3 years for RG Snyman.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the two ACL injuries, the fire pit incident, and here he is scoring the crucial try in a World Cup semi-final. The only try in a World Cup semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely massive from him.
Yeah, you'd be happy for him now. My player of the week, it's very biased, so I might be shot down on this one. But look, I said I'd put it forward anyway. It's AJ Brown, obviously Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. And the Eagles were in a key game against the Dolphins. I think it might have been my fixture of the week last year. They fairly dismantled them. And AJ Brown is on course, and he's going to have an extra game to do it, obviously. But he's currently on course to overtake Calvin Johnson's all-time receiving record. He has matched him in, I'm going to butcher this stat now, but in most consecutive games with 150 plus yards. I think it's 5. So he's in red form right now. I also think he's probably, look, he's not Justin Jefferson, or maybe Tyreek Hill, but he's definitely in the top 5 wide receivers in the NFL right now. He's in his prime. So for me, he was my player of the week, but I'm cognizant that's a very biased.
Yeah. It's he's a good shout as well. That was a big matchup. 2-5-1 teams going into that, wasn't it? That's it's nice to have that game cushion to be able to break that record as well. So I think he's been probably one of the standout players there so far this season, hasn't he? And even last season as well, I think.
He definitely was last season, and this season we've probably not been as dominant. If you tune into Huddles and Stout, I see myself and Rocky are two diehard Eagles fans, and we've talked quite a few times about like when's the loss coming. The loss is coming. It came against the Jets, but we've probably not been as dominant as last year. But yeah, it definitely was a huge one. But I'm going to be cantankerous. I'm going to say it's Ox Nietzsche. High stakes environment, and before he came on, I didn't see South Africa winning. I went into the game up to half time, I did, but then it just seemed like England were going to flee through.
Yeah.
It was absorbing, bruising encounter, and man the moment for me.
Yeah, I know. Like, pretty much the bomb squad came on, and Vincent Cock, another good scrummager, come on as well in around the same time and made a huge impact. But yeah, for me, I think Ox, and he probably had a Burger King to celebrate after, because salads don't win scrums.
No, they do not.
Yeah,
they do not. Yeah, so look, I'm happy with Ox Nietzsche. To be fair, I haven't spent a considerable amount of my life in the front row as well, so yeah, not gonna disagree there. Moving on, it is agree to disagree. I'll take the lead on this one, and then I'll hand it on over to yourself. So, first topic of conversation, and it's probably one more so for fun. Washington Commanders defensive tackle Jonathan Allen expressed his frustration with his team's lack of success in recent years following a 14-7 loss to the New York Giants on Sunday. I have the audio. I'm going to play it. Give me just one sec.
Gotta be better.
Does it get frustrating when that team...
Yes, it does. I'm fucking tired of this shit. I'm fucking tired of this bullshit. It's been 7 fucking years of the same shit. Tired of this shit.
What can you do now going forward to get it turned around?
Get our minds right and get ready to play fucking Philadelphia.
So that's the audio. Eagle-eyed listeners will know there was a little cut there to the TikTok sound. Look, I suppose I get where he's coming from. It's probably not the most professional post-match interview, but I suppose this question was to kind of see the venom flow in a few cast members. But I suppose, who is the worst run sporting organization in the world and why?
I think I've been thinking about this for a while now, and it's hard to not look across the water to England, to multiple organisations over there. You can take three rugby teams that we spoke about last week that went bust, and any one of those could be considered it. But for me, I think Everton in the Premier League is probably one of the worst run organisations. A lot of changes over, and I know it's a bit hard now, the passing of Bill Kenwright yesterday, the day before as well. You know, he built that club up a lot, and he was running it right for a time, but I think the last 7-8 years they've just been diabolical, and I don't know how they're surviving in the Premier League. And now
they are surviving, I suppose.
Yeah. Just by the skin of their teeth, but I think there's now pressure on them for the financial fair play. I think Premier League are looking for a 12-point deduction. They've two offences, I think, in comparison to City's 118 or something. But there was no mention of points deduction for City. So, but yeah, it's just a shit show there. So that's who I would probably say is the worst run at the moment.
I've a few. I suppose association football, I'm probably going to turn around and I'm probably going to say Spurs, and that's very biased again. But I just think they're in London. They've always been like a top 10 club, but they've no hardware to show for it. Huge loyal support. It kind of borders on, like, they have a huge global support because of the ties with religion. But yeah, just never got over the hump. Never really got that kind of important piece of hardware. On top of that, like I could even say the Knicks, which I do love the Knicks, but especially in Dolan's ownership group, a franchise that big, that important, with that huge fan base in the biggest city in the world, for it to have two championships in the 70s and nothing since, it's probably a massive fail.
Yeah.
Especially in a salary cap sport. I have another one from the NBA, which is the Pelicans. Talked to them before. They are owned by the same family that owns the Saints, and the Saints are definitely a priority. They have the same physio. They obviously butchered Anthony Davis. Now, he kind of looks, you look at his form with the Lakers as if he's just kind of mentally soft. But they're probably butchering Zion Williamson now. And to get two generational draft picks in 20 years, it's not acceptable. And then you could probably look at maybe the Jets. To only have one Super Bowl, and again, be in the metropolis of New York. I know they're in New Jersey, obviously, East Waterford. And the Giants are kind of sucky this year, but they've had recent Super Bowl success. They've had two in the last 20 years. So I think they kind of get a bit of a pass. But yeah, I think this could really...
Yeah, I think to throw a little shade on some of the teams I follow as well, you could pick a number of the Chicago organizations. They just missed out on the playoffs. They got to the playoff wild card last year. The Bulls, they were in the lost in the first round of the playoffs the previous year. They look to be heading in the right direction though, with Billy Donovan and stuff. So there may be signs.
DeLonzo Ball injury.
Yeah, that's, and he's gone like for this entire season as well. You know, he may be gone permanently. He may never recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
The struggling Bears, you know, it's be 39 years this year without a Super Bowl. It'll be, I think, 2006 the last time they were in the Super Bowl. 2010 they were in the championship
final,
the NFC championship, I think, was the last time. You know, there's so many. The like even the Blackhawks in hockey, like that's more of a hobby sport for me. It's like check the results, check the highlights and stuff. But the Blackhawks have had good recent success. But now it seems to be a complete rebuild. But they did get the number one draft this year. So something to build on for the future.
I'm willing to be corrected, but they also had kind of a sizable enough scandal in the last few years. I can't fully remember. Was it? Was there someone involved with the organization convicted of abuse of a minor? Am I wrong in saying that?
Could be now. Could have been. There's been a lot of change there. Top to bottom, like you know, a lot of their mainstay guys and their cup winners have moved on and stuff like that, and the GM has changed and stuff like that. So wouldn't surprise me, but I think
yes, I actually have the scandal. I was right. So the Blackhawks settled the lawsuit by a former player, never fully made the major leagues, was kind of thereabouts, who said he was sexually assaulted by assistant coach during the team's Stanley Cup
run.
Winning run in 2010. And he, it was coming out around the time of the final, so they hushed it up very quickly. And they got busted for the cover-up as well as the incident.
I actually remember it now that you're reading it out there. We could name endless franchises and teams and around the world.
Yeah. I think we're two of the more cool headed, maybe. I obviously planned this video 2 ahead and I was expecting some fireworks. It didn't pan out that way, but look, you try things that don't always work out.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So, my agree to disagree for this week is currently ranked 1 and 2 in the world. Does the build up to South Africa and New Zealand seem unusually quiet for a World Cup final? And has the final been somewhat overshadowed by World Rugby's announcement of the Nations League from 2026 and the expansion to 24 teams from the next World Cup cycle?
A lot
in it, yeah.
I think, and we touched on it at the very start of the season, we were on about like the potential for growth in this World Cup. And I think it's they've fallen short of the mark simply because as soon as Ireland's out of it, you notice the interest level drop. Whereas, like, there's an interest level in the Football World Cup, considering Ireland don't get there most of the time. Look, I'd imagine in New Zealand and South Africa, there's considerable excitement about this World Cup. But yeah, it does seem slightly subdued. Parked after the time being. And look, feel free to jump across. The second part of your question is far more interesting to me right now. It is definitely been overshadowed by this announcement. This new concept of the Nations League. For me, the expansion of the 24 teams is a bit like putting the cart before the horse. I actually think the Nations League should have ran for a few years to allow for the development of Euro teams, so you're getting a good standard when you do expand. The worst thing you want to see is, like, it's different than football because at the end of the day, the professional athletes, professional defenses, professional coaches, and like it's still a 1-0, 2-0, so it's a competitive fixture. But rugby is such in the World Cup already, we've propensity for a huge blowout. I think expanding it could get ugly. The Nations League is interesting. I wonder, is it, how does it leave us with the Six Nations and the Rugby Championship? Like, are they going to disappear in the years with the Nations League? Because it's a hell of a lot of rugby when you factor in domestic rugby.
Yeah, I don't think they're not going to disappear, but the rankings for them and stuff, like the matches will probably, so if Ireland are paired or in a group with France, say, I think the Six Nations result will go towards your Nations League total. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't look too much into the details of it. What, just going back to your point of, had it ran for a couple of years with promotion and relegation from it, I think that would have been the better scenario for developing rugby in the so-called weaker countries and stuff. But it would also put the pressure on Italy and Japan and Fiji, Samoa, those teams, like, to that if they're going to be, like, if they ever expand the rugby championship, that Fiji and Japan come into it to make it a Six Nations, Southern Hemisphere Six Nations, but that you have the potential to get relegated, like, it puts pressure on you to develop your players, and, you know, results matter. It's okay playing nice rugby, but you can play ugly and still win, which England very nearly done.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, because the details in this are very fuzzy still. Like, I'm willing to be corrected, but I think the first two reiterations, so 2026 and 2028 one, aren't going to have relegation.
Yeah, it's
in 2030.
It's ring-fenced for the first two, I think. Which doesn't bode well, like, because that's into another World Cup cycle before like it's you're talking the 2031 World Cup before those nations could potentially earn the right to compete in the Nations League, or like the year before it. So like if Italy keep picking up wooden spoons and stuff, but Georgia keep getting wins against tier one nations when they play them, like you need to either expand the Six Nations or open up that door of, do we have promotion relegation from the Rugby Championship Europe or whatever it's called, and into the Six Nations. And you know, I think I do think it's kind of, I feel it's overshadowed though. I think it's bad timing. Like, they could have waited until Sunday or Monday to announce this.
Yeah. Just on the whole relegation promotion thing, I think it's something rugby's afraid of. I suppose the thing I would always say is, and this is across all sports, is what adds to entertainment value, which is a huge importance in driving eyes on the telly and then young boots on the pitch, is like importance and intensity. So like the NFL is so intense because it is 17 weeks. Every game matters. Yep. The NBA is 82 games. Not every game matters. And even in the playoffs, it's a best of seven. It's enjoyable. It's a lot more enjoyable, and the games do matter, but it's still a best of seven series. Like, rugby's international calendar is Autumn International, Summer International, Six Nations, Rugby Championship. None of those games really matter. And that sounds mad, but it matters in terms of world rankings. What did world rankings do for Ireland at this World Cup? Nothing.
Yep.
And theoretically, outside of World Cup years and trying to build a bit of momentum, it doesn't matter if you finish bottom of the Six Nations. It doesn't matter if you lose all your Autumn Internationals. Your coach will probably lose his job, but it doesn't matter.
Like, ultimately, you could lose, you could pick up a wooden spoon this year and potentially win a World Cup. Like, you know, it's like there's nothing to stop it, other than player development and stuff. Like, it's, yeah, you're right in the importance. Like, the important games in international rugby are the knockout stages of the World Cup.
Basically, because of a group stage and how it's structured, if you're a tier one nation, like Scotland is probably the only side, and like Australia were brutal and knocked out by Fiji, but
yeah,
do the tier one nations matter?
Like, the Australia ones, you could almost class them as tier two now, and like they've been in massive decline for a number of years now, and there's no sign of that stopping. And like, they have the next World Cup as well, which is the only reason they'll not have to worry about their ranking.
Let me tell you this, in terms of like oval ball sports, rugby league in Australia bottom is, of the pile.
Oh, sorry.
Rugby league, sorry, is fast becoming Australia's, like it's starting to even swallow up Aussie rules in Heartlands. They're playing the open round in Vegas this season in February. The Yanks are lapping it up already. It could be huge. Like, it could be as important as the NFL coming to London in terms of driving new international viewers, which is serious influx into, like, the problem with all the sports in Australia is they just don't get the international viewership and then the revenue. But if the NFL gets that, could be like that.
Yeah.
But look, I'm not gonna fix Australia. I can barely fix myself.
The rugby league opening up in Las Vegas next season is really good. I think I was listening to, I think it was the New Heights podcast with Travis and Jason Kelsey, and they were talking about NFL's next expansion, I think. And it was like, what, or was it? Was it you and Rocky? No.
We talk
no about I just but it was like
yes actually I
you sorry from, it was you and, yeah
X Market.
Sorry given the Kelce brothers the credit that, for you and Rocky, but I think like it could work both ways that NFL could get a market in Australia and Australia NRL gets a market in the US. They could be looking for more players to come from the NRL to join the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's been some pretty bad ones. What was it? Your man that went to the
Valentine
49ers? Holmes. Jared Hayne, was it?
Jared Hayne.
Yeah.
There's been some incredible success stories. There's Jordan Mailata at the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they love an Aussie punter. And that's coming from Aussie rules because they're getting an athlete and a kicker. Whereas a punter developed in America is not an athlete, if that makes sense.
And another point you made about the Irish kicker at
Dan
the
Whelan.
Yeah. It's like he'd be an athlete to an extent, but not like an Aussie rules athlete. So it's
or even a Gaelic footballer, they're starting to snap them up as well. That concludes, I suppose, agree to disagree. Next up, must watch TV. Chief, what's your prediction?
So my must watch TV is the World Cup final on Saturday night between the All Blacks and the Springboks. We've seen the Springboks have announced their team today, 7-1 split. They've gone for the last time they've done that. The first time they've done it was against the All Blacks in Twickenham pre-World Cup, and they annihilated them. That's not going to be the case this weekend. I think this is potential to be up there with one of the good, very good Rugby World Cup finals in terms of quality, I think. Mm. Look, I know there's no Irish interest. Well, actually, there is if you're
Felix Jones.
Munster inclined as well. So you have Snyman and John Clane. So both named in the squad.
Felix Jones.
And Felix Jones, of course. Already a World Cup winning coach.
Could be two-time World Cup winning coach.
Yeah. And this, the winner will go out on top in terms of number of wins in World Cup history. So it's a big, big game and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good now. It'll be on RT, ITV, Virgin.
Yeah, I think it's on both RT2 and Virgin Media and then ITV as well. So it'd be very, very accessible this weekend to watch it.
Mine's probably a little bit less accessible. It's a late Sunday evening fixture again. That's two in a row, but it's a bank holiday Monday, and it's not on the kind of a service you get here. It's either NBA League Pass if you want to be a legal goody two shoes, but it is on Monday morning at 1 o'clock. The San Antonio Spurs host the Clippers. The only reason I'm predicting this is it's Wembanyama's second game, as discussed last week. He made his debut last night against Luka and the Dallas Mavs, and he showed all the potential he has. He was relatively quiet in three quarters. He got himself into foul trouble quite early, but kind of unleashed in the fourth quarter. I think he finished with 15 points in the fourth quarter, and you just seen glimpses of athleticism, hand-eye coordination, defensive prowess, and just athletic freakism.
His potential to dominate,
it's worth watching.
I think I sent you his stats from that game last night. He matched Tim Duncan's Spurs debut, every stat. So that's not a bad start to your career in San Antonio. Looking forward to actually following him this season and seeing how he progresses and how he's like we spoke, how he's managed.
Speaking of bad organizations, the San Antonio Spurs are not. That's an incredible organization to land at. But look, that's all from me.
And that's all from me.
Thank you. And good night.